With only 25 shows, we have rebranded the 15 Minutes of Giving No Fucks podcast into the new Attentive While Oblivious podcast. We felt that it gives the show a broader appeal with a more positive vibe. Don't get it twisted. The show is still the same as our Divorce Devil podcast. Funny, witty, in your face, crazy, entertaining, innovative, and sometimes out of control. The show's premise has not changed and the goal is still the same. This special podcast is one that is not in the business of making you not care about things, but getting you to take a step back and articulate to yourself what is important and what matters in your life. You still attentively care and are aware of everything, but the oblivious side allows you to organize your life while pushing the fluff aside. That's what everybody wants in life. Less chaos. Every podcast will feature my co-host or a special guest, usually a friend of mine. We will discuss how the art of being attentive while oblivious is incorporated into their daily life. We realize the struggle is real.
Welcome, everybody out there, to Attentive While Oblivious
formerly podcast. Known as 15 Minutes of Giving
Up. Episode 032.
32.
Today we're talking about 10 ways to straddle the care, not care concept and or offense.
Yeah.
So you care a little bit, but not enough to mess up your life.
So basically not give a fuck, but you actually care enough to give.
When
we say no fucks, it means that we actually cared so much that now we're like, eh, we're done with that.
Yeah. Especially if it hampers you, not hamper.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, I think giving no fucks comes from such hurt, like such a place of hurt, that eventually you've eventually been so hurt.
You're just done.
And you've cared so much that you're just like, I can't give any more energy to it. So I think that's where that care and, you know, not care, but worry and, you know, what does caring for someone mean? Sometimes that means you have to let them go. And some, you know.
So number one, develop emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
By understanding and managing your emotions, you can prevent them from controlling you. Emotional intelligence can help you deal with situations objectively without becoming overly attached.
Yeah.
So you keep it, so you almost keep it at bay. Mm-hmm. Just enough to care.
Arm's length, yeah.
Where it doesn't affect you.
Well, and like we all know someone that has situations where like you love that
situationships.
Situationships. Where you love that person so much, but every time that you love them, you get shit. You get shit negative. On. You get yep. this. You get the, you don't matter. And I care about you so much that I have to give you space in order to help myself. And we're all in this. I can't live your life. You can't live my life. We have to do what's best for us. And a lot of times, the more emotionally intelligent person, meaning they've worked on themselves to try to figure it out, they're, you know, using all the tools, love languages, you name it, using all the things that you've learned, probably listening to our podcast, of course, you need to detach yourself from that person because it's not good for your health, your mental state, and all the things, you know. If you're breaking out in hives every time you see this person, you probably don't want to take Benadryl every time you see him because it might make you sleepy. So you need to like step away from them. You'll, like, I don't want to be sleepy today.
You'll be ahead of the curve.
Yeah. This is how I deal with her. I take a Benadryl. Yeah. So yeah.
Take
so
a
I
nap.
Think, yeah. And that leads to setting boundaries, which is
oh, God.
Two.
That's huge, man. I think that's the number one problem in divorce recovery, other than self-care, that we don't set boundaries. So when people cross the boundaries, it's because we didn't set them.
That's in every
in
situation.
The first place, yeah.
Like, if you don't, I remember going to, like, when I was getting married, I remember going to a class. You had to go to a class before the pastor would say, I do.
God, you got to go to a class, get married. You got to go to a class, get divorced. Yeah. How ironic is that?
Like, well, apparently we're not smart enough. That's why they, okay. So you go to the class and they're like, what's your religious life going to look like? How strict are you going to be? Who are you going to vacation? Like, who's making the plans? Who's going to pay the bills? Who's this? There was literally a plan for how we working it out. And a lot of times I think if you're young, you're like, oh, we're just so in love. We're going to figure it out as we go.
Yep.
And then you stumble your trip and then you've got $27 in the
bank. And you give up. You give up too easy. You don't work at it.
Just because you're getting married or you're in a relationship, or you, whatever it is, a new friendship. If you're always like the person that's giving in a friendship, it's exhausting.
Yep.
Like if you're always the one trying to fix that friend, we don't need a phone a friend to fix a friend. We don't need that. We don't need, we should meet at the same level. And then when you're in a friendship for a long time, especially if that friend, you're always helping them and then they're going through a different part and you're always helping them, you're always helping them. And that one time that you need them, they don't know how to help you because you've enabled them so much to not help,
help you.
And then you're like, well, she's not helping me. She's not there for me. Well, no, I've been there your entire life. I've been doing all the things for you, entire friendship. I needed a little and you weren't there. So that can break up friendships and that can break up marriages and that can break up families, like sibling relationships or whatever that is. And so I think if we don't set boundaries, and I think we've discussed this too, like a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to hold a grudge. I don't think we should hold grudges. I think you should have peace with that person when you set boundaries.
Forgive, but don't forget.
Yeah, and if they don't respect your boundaries, you know where you stand with them, right? So,
and if you don't respect them not respecting your boundary, then that's your problem.
And I totally understood what you just said.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So you both can think you're right. And that's where grudges start, because I'm not going to talk to you and you're not going to talk to me. And if you're strong-willed and from my family, grudging is like, whoo, let's see who's the biggest. I had my mom had a sister. She didn't talk to for like 30 years because they were mad about something that fucking happened when they were like 17. I don't fucking know. I have learned that I am not holding a grudge. I am just respecting myself. Set boundaries. Yes, that's what we were. So, yeah, I think a lot of our energy can be come from a negative place of setting boundaries.
Or even save energy. That's like wasted energy.
Oh, yeah. And again, grudge to me is negative because my whole entire life, my mom didn't talk to my aunt because of blah, 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 blah. Come to find out, like, it was something stupid. Neither one of them remembered why they were fighting in the first place.
They just fought.
And like my cousins and I probably have made conscious decisions going, we're not going to be like our parents. So I think setting boundaries is what we really want to say. Like, here's what I'm going to deal with. Here's what I will not deal with. And if any of these don't work for you, I'm okay for you stepping out.
Yep.
I'm going to miss you and I'll be sad when you're not there. But the peace that I have,
is worth it.
The peace is great. And happiness, peace, you know, life shouldn't be that hard, except there's a big life change. So,
which takes us to mindfulness and meditation.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. You know, you got to have that positive attitude.
Yeah. I'm not big on the meditation. I'm big on doing that positive speak to myself. Yeah. Like, you are great. You're going to do great. You're not going to punch someone today. You're not going to tell that teacher she's a fucking piece of shit. You're going to do great. You're going to have great things. And I think I've talked about this thing. I saw this TikTok. It was some guy was talking to his girlfriend, and he was having a bad day. And she said, but were you having a bad 5 minutes and you milked it? Or did you have a whole bad day? Like 8 hours of work. Was it all 8 hours were bad? Like you didn't milk joke once? So did you milk the 5 minutes of, my boss yelled at me because I forgot a deadline? Well, and he goes, yeah, you know, like I really had to put it in perspective. Like a job's not that difficult, but I made it difficult because I was sitting in my self
pity.
Pity, yeah. Okay. So mindfulness to me was journaling. It was taking that time, that conscious time, going, okay, what were the best parts of my day? The negative parts of my day? How can I fix the negative parts? Well, if I can't control it, rip it up and I got to throw it away because I can't do anything to change it. Was someone snappy to me and I might have been in a bad mood? Maybe. But I think from that mindfully going, how do I make myself better? I have learned to come back at people and go, yeah, no, you're being a shit. We're not going to talk about that right now. Give yourself, like my son's coach is like, let's give ourselves 24 hours and then come back to me after the game. If something wasn't like, and then you cool down, you take your minute, and then it's like, great job, coach.
I think what I have when we have those journals, we have like chapters like Throat Punch.
We're writing books, kids.
Slap silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Needs to be those chapters.
We're
in
not
there.
The experts of the world, but we have seen some stuff, heard some stuff.
We've seen some shit.
Yeah. So that also goes to self-care, which is number four.
Number four.
Self-care comes from mindfully going, hey, I had a bad day. I know I'm going to yell at my spouse because I had a bad day, and he's a dude, and the guy that I had a bad day at work with was a dude. So now you
two dudes.
Now you're in trouble because you're a dude. Or whatever it is, you know, someone brings up a hurt spot, and you haven't dealt with it. You know, hey, I don't like how you talked to me the other day when you were talking to blah, 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 or this and that. So I think self-care comes from how do I protect myself and my space? I want to be connected to everybody. I love human interaction, but I also want you to respect my bubble. I want you to respect that I won't let you talk to me like that. I'm not going to allow disrespect just because you're related or just because you've been friends for so long or just because, you know, we're in a relationship. We need to figure out what works for both of us. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it doesn't, and you have to let people go.
So what's the difference between caring and worrying?
It's important to distinguish between caring for someone or something and worrying about them. Caring is healthy and natural, but worrying is led to stress and anxiety.
It's wasteful.
Well, because worrying...
Especially you can't control it.
Anxiety in itself, worrying, that kind of worry, like everything's going to... Like something bad's going to happen because something bad always happens. I feel like you put that into the universe. If I go, every day something bad's going to happen, every day something bad's going to happen, you're going to make it happen because you've already set it into that space. But if you go into every day going, you know, be safe. Like every time I tell Lance, be careful when he's working on a car with his brother, he gets injured. I'm like, I'm not going to say it anymore.
Yep.
Like, should I say get hurt? Because then
get hurt and then it'll be fine.
Then it'll be fine. Like break a leg. They don't really mean break a leg. They mean do your best and like.
Totally opposite.
Exactly. So I think when you care about someone, you care that they're well, they have well-being.
Mm-hmm.
But worrying about like, oh, is he texting someone? Is he doing this? Who is he talking to? Blah, blah, blah. Like all these things, the only one that's affecting is you. And worry can present itself as physical things a lot of the time.
So rationalize your feelings. When you find yourself caring too much about someone, a place, or a thing, try to rationalize your feelings. What the hell is that?
That means like, I mean...
Ask yourself why you are feeling this way and whether it's productive or healthy. So it's almost enabling. The same as caring and worrying.
So say, for an example, no one is being, you know, brought to the spotlight. But say you have a parent who is ailing in health, who is disrespectful, who is this. But that's your mom or your dad or your sibling. And you care about them so much that it's actually affecting you and not them. They aren't giving you back what you need in your feelings. So if you give all the love and you're not getting anything from it, why are you still in that space? Why?
So don't waste time.
Because it's your parent, because it's your sibling, because it's your family. Sometimes family's shitty. You don't get to pick your family.
Especially if you keep doing the same thing over and over again.
And even if you, a lot of times, if your family, like one of our podcasts, someone's like, when people show you who they are, trust them.
Trust them.
Because they're family doesn't mean they're not disposable.
Yep.
Meaning you can go out with the trash because I can't have that in my space because I'm the one who's having stomach problems or headaches or, you know,
manifestations,
whatever it is. And so they either need to decide to change, which a lot of times they don't. Or you can pull back and say, I'm not going to accept that. I love you with all my heart and all my being, and I'm thankful that you brought me into this world. We have the same parents, you know, whatever. But you also need to love yourself enough to know that your feelings should be validated by the people in your life.
Yeah.
You get to decide who's in your life.
Number 7, therapy and counseling.
Get it.
Don't wait.
Yes, we love our listeners, and we try to help you, but we are not therapists or counselors. We are just
get the real thing.
Lived in it.
If you need, if you're on the edge and just need us to talk to you, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, listen to the podcast, fine. But if you're in deep, get a counselor.
Angst, yeah.
Yeah.
And as a nurse, depression is a diagnosed disorder. You can be in a depressed state and not have depression. And sometimes if you're in depression, you need medicine. You need therapies. You need someone to talk to. You need all these things. You can be sad and you should have a support group. But if you don't have that, you can still go to therapy, even if you don't have like, I don't have depression. You can be sad enough to be like, hey, I just need to talk to someone. So get yourself to therapy, find ways to heal, use mindfulness, set boundaries, self-care. There's a lot of steps to get you to a healthy space so you can learn when caring and worrying
get there
are should be separate. Yeah.
What's next?
Practice acceptance. Understanding the things you can change, people move on, and life goes on. Accepting the fact that it can help reduce the pain of letting go and help you care less about things that are not meant for you. This is a hard one. This is a really hard one.
No, it's not.
I think it is because I'm okay. I can only speak for myself. I am a nurse. I have this podcast that helps people. I think I'm a caring person. I think people come to me for advice. I think people tell me things sometimes I don't even want to know it.
Yep. Like a bartender.
Yeah.
Bartender.
Exactly. So you are getting unsolicited people wanting you to help them, and then you're getting solicited people because we want people to listen to our podcast.
Yep. So you get a double whammy.
If you see yourself as someone always helping someone, my job is helping people. If you see yourself as giving good advice, if you see this all, and then all of a sudden they don't want to be a part of it, you're like, but I'm a good person. Like, why don't you like me?
But they're not ready sometimes.
They might not be in a space where they want help, or they may ask me for help, but don't really want my help. And then when I go, why are you asking me then? If you really didn't want help, why are you asking? Or why are you not willing to do the work when I've just given you all of myself? And so I think that's really hard too, because I don't want people to not be my friend, but I also don't want people stuck in a space where they're only being my friend because of something I can give them or something that, you know, they think they're going to get from me.
Well, this segues into stay socially active.
Yeah.
You know, keep your friends. Keep doing the same thing.
You have to make a conscious effort. Yep. You have to make an effort
to maintain friends. Just
go to be like, well, you didn't call me. Well, you didn't call them either.
Yep.
And I have a bad thing of like looking at a text, reading it, go, oh, shit, I'll do that. And then I'm in the middle of something else and something else else. And I'm like, ew, shit, she texted me. Fuck. Oh, I remember that, but I didn't respond. Or it's sitting in the comments and I forgot to hit the send button, or I had no service and I hit the send button and it didn't go. You know, and again, solutions don't start from excuses, but sometimes my brain just forgets. Wow. And, you know, those friends that are still there because you forgot to respond back, or just those are the ones you got to cherish. And those are the people that, you know, you have to make an effort to see and make a schedule and fit them in your space. And we're all fucking busy. We're all busy.
Oh, yeah.
And we all have our shit. And there are all times where we're way busy, like my May and first week of June. Fucking busy. I had no time for anybody. And if I dismissed you or didn't think about you or didn't text you, I am sorry. But I love you.
What's that thing your dad did with excuses?
He said, solutions don't start with excuses.
Gotcha.
Everything's an excuse until you have a plan to fix whatever your problem is. Right?
There you go. Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
Go ahead.
He's looking down. He's here.
And then transfer to develop a positive self-image. That's part of that positive speak we talked about last podcast.
You have to be mindful of that positive speak, because we all get into it. Like, I started exercising every day diligently, making sure I'm doing it, taking time for myself. I feel guilty sometimes walking out going, hey, I'm going for a 45-hour walk. You can come if you want, but I'm going either way. It took me a long time to not feel guilty for not spending time with people or being there for them or being available 24/7. I have a phone on me. But if I'm 30 minutes out and it's going to take me 30 minutes to walk back, you either got to come get me or you're going to have to deal with it by yourself.
I think that's the 11th one. 11th one is guilt.
Yeah.
Guilt can just make us do shit that we shouldn't be doing.
And I think a lot of that comes from childhood. I have a lot of guilt from, like, I didn't do enough for my sister I didn't do enough for my mom who was an alcoholic. I didn't do enough. I didn't do enough. I wasn't enough. I wasn't pretty enough. I wasn't thin enough. And again, I had friends. But I never felt like I was someone's friend. Does it make sense?
I'm trying to tell you, man, once you go through a life event, that guilt kind of goes away.
Yeah.
Because you don't care about shit.
Yeah. Well, I think divorce did that. Divorce was like, you can either be my friend now.
So then two life events, man, I'm like, boom, boom.
Yeah.
I'm adding them up.
Well, I feel like I've had so many events in my life through my entire life. Like, I lost a sister when she was 18. I lost a best friend. I lost a niece. Both my parents are gone. I've lost a child. Divorced, you know. all these things that have happened, you know, a lot of them are around grief. And a lot of times mine was, I'm going to live for the people who no longer are here. And I'm going to try to be my best.
And that's part of your self-identity.
Yeah. And I have so many stories of loss, like, you know, disease, addictions, you know, suicides. There's lots of loss in my life that I've gone, you know what? If they weren't strong enough, I'm going to be strong enough for them. And if it was disease, I'm like, get yourself fucking checked. Get yourself to the doctor. Damn. Stop going, oh, that excuse. Your solution is, I got a clean bill of health, or I don't have a clean bill of health, and then you can decide from there. So I think a lot of, you know, when we say self-image, it's who, I think I heard this thing here too, another thing from one of our guests was, we become the adult we needed as a child. So like my mom was absent as a mom. I became the mom I needed as a child.
Yep.
I needed someone going, you're great, you're wonderful. Oh yeah, I want to come to your play. Yeah, I want to come watch you play volleyball. Yeah, I want to do that. Where my mom was, oh, I got to go drink. My friends are drinking. Or I got to go do this.
Damn.
She would make the costumes for our stuff. But then, well, I made the costumes. I don't need to be there.
Not the show.
So it was like that absentee mom. I was at every fucking event that I could be, unless I had to be in three places at once.
Because you overcompensated.
And then, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
So again, I think that positive self-image comes from, you know, my mom was always on a diet. I feel like my adult life, I've always been on a diet because I'm not skinny enough. I'm not this. And that goes to marketing, and that goes to ads, and that goes, hey, how can we make more money? I don't feel comfortable with my skin. I have a double chin. I got this freckle here. I got a spot on my face. I got wrinkles. I got this.
You gotta go what you got, though, baby.
Exactly. And I think that takes...
Lance loves you with what you got.
And you have to find that despite of a partner, too, though.
Yep.
Like, I think my daughter just went through a really big breakup, and I go, you need to be alone in yourself. Like, you need to figure out who you are. And
figure out your self-worth.
Not with a partner. Not with someone saying, you're so pretty, you're so this, you're so smart, blah, blah, blah. You need someone going, you need to say, hey, you know
what? I'm pretty, I'm smart.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly. And you should be the most important. I am pretty. We know how pretty you are, David.
Duh.
You have to find your self-worth by yourself. You should be the most important person in your life of what you think. When you look in the mirror, Rachel, you're awesome. David, you're awesome. That's all that matters. All right. But if someone else feels that, means that you're showing the world, like, hey, look at me, I'm awesome. And there is a fine line between confidence and conceited. And
conceited, yeah. Once again. So. All right, thanks, Rachel, out there for showing us 10 ways to straddle the care, not care concept and fence. Because sometimes you're on that fence and your butt cheeks are sore because you're straddling the fence. So,
could be just like a bicycle seat.
Hopefully there's a seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was just playing with the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello.
That's why they make these things called bicycle shorts. They have like the padding in them.
Nuts. Yes.
Bush nuts.
Bush nuts. Bush
nuts. Oh. What the hell was that?
That was.
It's like a gurgle burp or something. I don't even know.
All right, everybody. Have a nice night. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.